So let me get somebody, if you don't mind, somebody to volunteer to read verses 1 through 4 for us to get started. Who's got it? Dolores, go ahead. Okay, since you've been raised with Christ, in other words, that's the condition that you are in. You have been raised with Christ, okay? Then there's a certain condition of our heart and mind that should exist, right? If you belong to Christ, then this should be your focus, right? And the real question and the real issue is, where are you looking? Okay, notice that he says here, for those who belong to Christ, all right, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Okay? So we need to make sure that our heart and our mind are focused on the right things, in the right place. Okay, as I talk to folks about what I refer to as this process, it's a four-step process of what we call changing what we know. This is one of the steps here, because we begin talking in Romans chapter 12, where Paul says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We realize that that the battle, spiritual warfare, takes place primarily in the mind. That's what the battle is, control of the mind. Okay, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay, the mind controls the behavior. So however we think, that's what we're going to act on. Right? So we start out there realizing that if we want to change our behavior, we have to change the way we think. Romans 12, 2. All right? Then we talk about the fact that we go over to Matthew and we look at where Jesus talks about the demons that have gone out from a man, and he goes out into arid places, and when he comes back, he finds that place clean, swept clean, and he brings back with it seven other demons more powerful than itself. And that person is worse than he was before. And so the idea there in this changing what we know is that when we try to stop doing the bad behavior, we have to replace it with something. Okay? Because there's basically, when you try to stop doing something, what you do is kind of create a void or an empty space there. And if you don't fill that space with something else, then that's room for the bad stuff to come back. That's why people try to stop doing something over and over and over and over and over again. It doesn't seem to work, because all they're doing is just trying to stop doing the bad behavior, not replacing that bad behavior with good behavior. In other words, they're not filling the void. Okay, everybody follow me so far? Okay, so the second step in that process then is that we've got to fill that void. All right, well, that brings us to step number three, which is this, okay? The question then is, well, what do I fill it with? Where do I find stuff, and what do I fill that empty space with? In other words, what do I replace the bad behavior with in terms of good stuff? Well, we come to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Right? You want to find good things to fill the void with, then you've got to change the place you're looking. All right, and as long as we're looking this way, that is, you know, in the world, in earthly, fleshly satisfaction, then we're just going to keep filling that void with bad stuff. But what Paul calls upon us to do is what? He says, set your hearts where? On things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, right? Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So what Paul is challenging us to do, you want to find things to replace the bad stuff with, quit looking this way and start looking this way. Okay? It really is a matter of where you're looking. Okay? Because if you're looking in the wrong place, you're going to find the wrong stuff. If you're looking in the right place, you're going to find the right stuff. So stop looking this way and look that way, he says. Look above. Look where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And focus on heavenly things, spiritual things, rather than earthly, fleshly things. Right? When we're focused on those things up there, we're going to find the things of God. Right? So we're trying, in other words, to look at, how do I overcome, this bad language, for instance, okay? Well, I need to stop looking this way, and I need to start looking that way, and I need to focus on what are the kinds of things that God would have me to say? What's the kind of language that God would have me to use, in other words, you see? So it's just something simple as that. But it really does come down to a matter of where are you looking? Okay? Because wherever you're looking, that's the place that you're going to find what you need. Chuck? Okay.
And I was thinking, if this is the reward, I
don't want it. Yeah, keep the reward.
We are looking to the promised land. We never saw the promised land. Yeah. We never heard of the promised land. We have that.
Yeah, focus on those things rather than, what am I struggling with right now? What's my problem? What's my issue? We get so tied up and so tangled up in thinking about the stuff of the world, you see, that we're not focusing on the things of God. And we wonder why we have so many struggles and problems and issues, okay? Stop focusing on the things of the world and focus on the things of God. Start thinking, okay, again, change your behavior by changing the way you think. Stop thinking like the world thinks and start thinking in spiritual terms. Start thinking in heavenly terms. What does God want you to be doing? You see? So it really does come down to a matter of where are we looking? Okay? You're either going to be looking this way and, the world and the flesh and trying to find answers this way, or we're going to be looking that way. Right, only two options. Right, any other thoughts or comments on that at all? For those of you who just came in, we're in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Okay. All right, so the first part then is change where you're looking. All right, start looking up instead of looking out. All right, and then look at verse 3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. All right, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay? All right, first of all, he says, you died. Okay? Colossians 3, we're in verse 3 and 4 now, all right? So, first of all, he says, you died, okay? Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Let me get somebody to read for us verses 1 through 4. Romans 6, 1 through 4. Marjorie, you got it?
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried. As Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Okay, So, in chapter 5 of Romans, Paul is talking about the fact that we are saved by grace, and the reason that we need grace is because we sin. Grace covers our sin, right? And so he begins there talking about the idea or the thought that somebody might come up with and say, well, okay, if the reason we get grace is because we sin, then if we want more grace, we just need to sin more, right? And that sounds kind of logical, right? Okay? If I get grace because I sin, I just need to sin more so I get more grace. And Paul says, by no means, okay? Basically, what he's saying is wrong thinking, all right? Why? He says, we died to sin. How can we therefore live in it any longer? All right? Or don't you know that all of us who were, what, baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him, how? Through baptism, that just as Christ was raised through the glory of the Father, we too might live what? A new life. So here is a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Okay? So Paul here in Romans 6 is talking about us, the fact that we died, that we have died to sin in our lives. Okay? And having been buried with Him, we were raised to a new life. Well, how did he start out this part? We looked in verse 1. What did he say here? Since you have been what? Raised with Christ. What is he talking about? In baptism, right? You've been raised to that newness of life that he talked about in Romans 6, okay? So we've died to sin. And here in Colossians 3, he says you died, so you've died to the sin. And then what is the result here of having died to that sin? What's the result that he talks about here? Your life is hidden in Christ. Okay? So, therefore, when you died, your life has been hidden or taken, put behind that of Christ or in Christ. In other words, when people see you, they see Christ. Exactly. You see? Because your life is hidden. Now, when you hide something, all right, this is a good timing because the Christmas season is here and, you know, we're out buying gifts for people and we don't want them to find the gifts that we bought and so forth. So what do we typically do with those gifts? We hide them somewhere, right? And the reason that we hide them is because we don't want anyone to find them, right? That's the whole idea behind hiding things. Now, one problem that some of us have, the older we get, is we hide things, and then we can't remember where we hid them, right? So we hide them from ourselves, okay? All right? But the idea is we don't want anybody to be able to find what we have hidden. And we need to think about it in that way with what Paul is saying here. Your life has now been hidden in Christ. So what does that mean? I don't want anybody to find me. Okay? When they see me, I want them to see Christ. You think about it this way. You know, this is just facts. I'm not, you know, this is not certainly not boasting or bragging because I don't have anything to boast or brag about. You know, people that knew me back before I was a Christian, all right, especially back when I was a young policeman and I was single and I was out running around doing this and that and everything else. And some of those people that were back then, I haven't seen, you know, since I became a Christian. And so I imagine that probably some of those folks that from back then in that period of my life, if I encountered them today and they, you know, I told them, well, I'm a minister, they might go, whoa, how'd that happen? You see? Why? Because that part of my life was not one that I was living in Christ. See? And I'm happy that that part of my life, as well as the current part of my life, is all hidden away in Christ. And that's one of the things that we have to understand about forgiveness that a lot of people don't understand. My past is hidden away in Christ. It's gone. You see? Along with my current and present identity is in Christ. So when people see me, I want them to see Christ in me, not me. Because my life is hidden in Him. And I don't want anybody to find any of that stuff, certainly from the past. Okay? Those are not things that I want to live, to relive, or anything else. That's my past. But I don't want anybody to find me either right now. Because, you know, I don't know about you all, but I still got a lot of rough edges. Okay? I'm still working on stuff. Right? And so I don't want people to find that part of me. I want them to find Christ when they're looking at me. I want my life to be hidden. The other part of this is, and I think this is a real struggle for us, is that we, in spiritual warfare, what we struggle with is life is all about me. Don't we? You know, what I want, you see, I know what the Bible says, but we've talked about that a lot of times, you see, all of those kinds of life is about me. The movie is about me, right? And when we really get this, then what it reminds us is that, no, the movie is not about us. It's a movie about God, as we've talked about before. And life is not about me. Life is about Him. It's about Christ. And when I keep that in mind, then that helps me to overcome that selfishness that I so often, you know, find myself struggling with, that I hide that away in Christ. No, it's not about me. This is what Christ wants me to do, then, okay, that's what I'm going to do. But it's so hard. It's so difficult. I don't really want to do that. But my life's hidden away in Christ. You see how that works? It's so much easier to be doing what He wants us to be doing and living the way He wants to be living, which is what He's going to be talking about here in the next several verses we're going to look at here, okay? To be living the way He wants us to be living when we realize that our life doesn't belong to us anymore. It belongs to Him, and it's hidden away. And so it's all about living my life for Him. Okay? So when I die to sin, that's what happens. Okay? My life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Now, when do I get that life back? Do what? I don't want my fleshly life back, but when do I get my identity in terms of me? When Christ comes back again. Look at what He says in verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Okay? So in other words, that's His promise, Chuck, of what? The promised land, right? That's the glory that we are striving for. So while we're here in this life, in this world, we're striving to live our life for and in Christ. When He comes back again, okay, then we get to appear with Him. In other words, I think the idea of appear here is that then we come out of hiding, so to speak, if you think about it that way, and we're able to be seen in the presence of Almighty God and in His glory. And that's what we have to look forward to. Okay? Any thoughts, comments, questions, rebuttal? Chuck?
We want people to see the best.
Okay?
We want them to see the best, and the
Absolutely.
The best thing about me. But you've got to put it forward.
Right.
You've got to stay here.
Yeah.
This is great. The new Christian class we had, you were teaching us, and this is great. Thank you, remind us.
Yeah, that. Yeah, we got to hide. We got to stay hidden in Christ and not and that's I think that's one of the biggest struggles in spiritual warfare, as I mentioned earlier, is that you know Satan wants it to focus on us. You know, life becomes all about me and what I want and what I want to do and you know and all of those kinds of things. When we're doing that, then we're no longer hidden in Christ. Okay, what else?
Jean?
Okay. Right. Okay.
And they fool a lot of people. When people go out and they see you, they think you shouldn't be. But coming out of it, they know what they should have.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And you know, he doesn't say here your life is hidden in the church, does he? It's hidden in Christ, and there's a huge difference between those two. And a lot of people have their spiritual identity is tied up in the church. And that's not where it should be. It should be tied up in Christ. All right? And so, you know, good point there. What else?
That's why we call ourselves Christians.
Right.
And then people say, where do you go to church? That's right. Secondary. The name on the building.
Right.
Secondary.
Yes.
But especially when you get into a lot of those third people's religions, that's the first thing out of someone's mouth. I'm Episcopalian. I'm Lutheran.
Right.
Or Catholic. Whatever.
Yeah. I like when they say that, and they say, well, what about you? And I say, I'm just a Christian.
Yeah.
Well, so am I, but I'm a Methodist Christian. Well, I'm just a Christian.
Yes.
You say, yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And that's one of the things that struck me, having not grown up in the church.
Yeah, okay.
Was that the Church of Christ is the name on the building because it's the closest approximation that we have
sure.
to what Christians call themselves in the Bible.
Right.
But we're Christians.
Right, just Christians. That's all we are. Not a Baptist Christian, not a Methodist Christian, not a Catholic Christian, just a Christian, period. But, you know, I think that, again, a lot of people, since they have their identity, you know, kind of connected to their religion, you know, or what have you, that's really who they are and how they identify. And in a lot of ways, I think that keeps people from really accepting the truth, because you have a lot of folks who I've talked to people lots of times who said, you know, hey, my family's been Baptist all our lives. My grandparents and my parents, I was born a Baptist or Catholic. I'm gonna die a Catholic. You know, in other words, that's just who we are as a family, and they're not willing to even consider the truth of the scriptures because their identity is tied up in their church, you see.
And it's all about them because they named it Baptist.
Right.
You know, Christ named his church.
Right.
The Church of Christ.
Yeah, the church that belongs to Christ.
It belongs to him. So we belong to him. So that's why we are Christians.
Right.
But man has made all of these different denominations, and they have put their name.
Right.
What they voted that it
right.
should be.
Right.
And it's not about God.
Yeah, exactly. The Lord?
And then you have those that go to that church because a pastor, so on.
Yeah. And again, it takes the emphasis off of being hidden in Christ and being found in whatever that group is. Holloway, did you have a comment?
It's on tradition.
Right, okay. Dale?
Yeah, it seems like people confuse religion almost with ethnicity.
Okay. Right.
You know, they were Jewish, and there wasn't much they could do about it. It was their choice as to whether they believed it.
Right.
Sometimes I think people see Catholicism or being Methodist that way. It's like, that's what I am.
Right.
Not realizing, you know, it's all just in what you believe. I mean, I can't choose to be Chinese, but I could choose to believe what the Bible says, no matter
yeah.
what I was when I was growing up.
Well, I would agree with you, except in today's political correctness world that, you know, people have, they can identify with whatever they want, you know. I identify as a Chinese person, that makes me Chinese, right? No, it doesn't work that way, but.
Well, the problem with that is I identify as rich, but my bank account doesn't.
But you're exactly right. And, you know, when it comes like to Judaism, Judaism was both a nationality and a religion. It was their relationship with God. And I think you're right that people today kind of look at, you know, my Catholicism is, you know, who I am. That's their identity. Like that's what they were born into. And they don't attach, you know, separate really the idea of their faith from, you know, their background type of thing.
Well, that's what the problem is when I say I am Catholic as opposed to the church is Catholic. The church I attend is Catholic.
Right.
I go to a Catholic church. And just like we said, I am a Christian.
Right.
I go to a church with this name on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem right there. They place that religion ahead of the very one that needs to be in the front.
Right.
Ms.
Jean? He recognized Christ in you, didn't he?
I don't know, but he's not where I worship.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's all about your religion, your religion.
Yeah, and we have to... Yeah, because of the name over the door. Yeah.
So we must be right.
Yeah.
You know, you know the old joke about getting up to heaven and showing the guy around, and there was this room that there was doors closed. They said, "Who's in there?" "Oh, that's Church of Christ. I think they're the only ones here."
Yeah. And you know, I think that's right. We have to be careful in understanding that it's about a personal relationship with Christ. We come together as a fellowship of believers who have all that in common. That's what brings us together as the body of Christ that we belong to. And so we have to understand, though, and be careful that we don't think that, again, just because we attend, you know, with this group of folks that, you know, we don't have to do anything else and we got it all together and we're saved because that's who we're with. If we're not living the way Christ wants us to be living, then it doesn't matter what church you're going to, okay? It doesn't matter what the name on the building is, all right? Because it all comes down to a matter of having your life hidden with Christ, you know, in Christ, and living then not for you but for Him, okay?
And there are other groups that use the same name.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they may tackle something on the front.
Yeah.
But also, I can tell you, we've been around the globe that we have walked in some churches before that you will see in the little book, Churches of Christ in the United States, that are not doing anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, especially like the United Church of Christ. Uh-huh. You know, I like to tell people, they say, "Are you part of that?" I said, "No, we're not united in any way, shape, or form." don't confuse us. Don't confuse us with those folks. We're not united. But, you know... We could joke about that, but really in essence that is true in that we are autonomous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so yes, we are actually united all as a fellowship of believers all over the world who have this same belief in common. But at the same time, being united that way, we are also autonomous, and so we don't have any other church that gets to tell us what we need to do or don't need to do because they decide they want to, you know, go off and do weird stuff or what have you, which is happening, you know. So again, it comes down to a matter of where are we hidden, okay? And then ultimately, again, when Christ comes, okay, then we get to, in a sense, come out of hiding. And this is what I was referring to earlier. We get to come out of hiding and share in the glory of Almighty God for all eternity. Okay, but we have to understand then it's not about It's not about us. It's not about what I want, okay? And we need to understand that because of what he's getting ready to say next, okay? Because now he's already said, you have died, right, to Christ, right? But then keep in mind, now he's talking to Christians, all right? He's writing to Christians. He's writing to people who have died to Christ already. But then the very next thing that he says here, beginning in verse 5, is put to death, therefore. Okay? And look at this list. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature. So we've got to put those things to death. So, but wait a minute, I thought I already died. So if I've already died, why do I need to put these things to death? Do what? Okay, because of spiritual warfare and the human condition, we're going to struggle and with some of these things. Satan is going to use these things to try to do what? Try to take us out of hiding, okay, and get us focusing back on ourselves. All right, so he says, you've got to put to death these things. Get rid of these things out of your life, okay? One other thing here before we continue on in this part, go back to this hiding stuff. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I had a note here that I wanted to mention this, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but what? But Christ lives in me. Okay? So really, that's kind of this transition between, you know, what he said in verse 4, verse 3 and 4, and then in verse 5, I've been crucified to Christ. Nevertheless, even though I've been crucified, I died. Okay? What's my problem? I'm still physically living, right? And I'm living in a physical, secular world where I face temptations and I face, you know, struggle with sin. Wes? Okay, yeah. And it is a daily thing, isn't it? Okay? And so these things we have to put to death, okay? We've got to work at overcoming. So in other words, when a person, go back to Romans 6, right? When a person dies to sin, they're buried with Christ in baptism, and they rise to a new life, right? Okay, the old is overcome, it's dead. It's buried, and now I got a new me. Okay. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all died right at that moment? Spiritually, it would be. But the fact is that we rise to this new life, but we still live in what? In this world. We still live in the flesh, and we still have to struggle with these things. So in other words, being saved is not this magical, you know, I got baptized and so all of my sin problems are gone and I'm never going to sin again. That is not reality. Okay? And we need to understand that. Because otherwise, then we get heaped upon all kinds of guilt because I'm supposed to be a Christian and we beat ourselves up because we stumbled in sin. We have to realize it's not a magical transformation, but it is the beginning of a new daily walk in life. It is a process. Now, I'm saved, right? Everybody with me on that? I'm saved, but I still have to work at overcoming, you know, the sin struggles that I have. To be transformed, and we'll talk about this more in just a little bit here, to be transformed on a daily basis more and more to the image of Christ. Okay, Chuck?
It just makes us look more forward to when you said it, when we don't have to hide anymore.
Yeah.
It takes
Yeah.
We can come out.
And
imperfection.
Yeah.
In perfect form.
Right.
With our new body and not have to hide.
And I don't have to struggle with this stuff anymore. You see? I don't have to face this temptation and struggle with these things anymore. You see? But I am, you know, in that glory with Christ. Chuck, did you have your hand up a moment ago? Absolutely.
Whatever day we know it's coming.
Right.
And his plan is beautiful.
Right. But in the meantime, until that day comes, when the Lord either takes us individually or He comes back, okay, until that day comes, we need to be putting to death whatever is of our sinful or fleshly nature. Dale, you had your hand up a moment ago?
Yeah, I was just saying, I saw an illustration of this many years ago when the book Left Behind came out.
Okay.
there was a really profound moment in the book. One of the people that was left behind was an assistant minister at a church. And as he was talking to people afterwards, he said, you know, he said, I was going through the motions. I looked like a Christian. You know, I had respect and everything. But he says, somehow I knew deep down I really had to change.
Okay.
He said, I was living a lot. But that it sounded like this.
Yeah.
That he hadn't died to himself. He had just pretended
right.
to do that and was, you know, to everybody looking on, it looked like he was a very devout Christian. Inside, he knew he really had to change.
Right. Okay. And so, I'm sorry, Charlotte? Right, you're not doing it alone, right.
We're not walking it by ourselves, and then that's why I feel like he chose his place for his Christian, his people to be, so we could call on one another.
Right, sure.
You know,
absolutely.
That's the way I feel about that. We're not in it alone.
Right.
We're supposed to have each other.
Absolutely.
And he placed all of us together for that reason. So
right.
We have to learn how to call on one another. First call on him.
Right.
And he's going to bless us.
And notice too that the language that Paul over and over again uses to describe the church is what? Not just the brotherhood, but he calls it the body of Christ, of which he is the head, right? So we are part of the body, okay? In other words, our body, our personhood is hidden with him, and we become part of the body of Christ. And part of it is for that reason, that we can encourage one another and uplift and help one another in that daily journey. Okay, but remember, it is a process. It's not an event. Our salvation, initial salvation, is an event. Okay, but the journey just begins there. And so that process goes on for the rest of our life. Of being transformed ever more into the image of Christ Jesus. Okay?
I think, and this is to piggyback off what Sharon said, this is not a contest. I think people treat a lot of times as a contest.
Okay?
We're together in this. It's not
right.
a marathon where one person's going to win. No, if somebody stumbles, we stop and pick them up. In fact, we sing them a song with the kids, you know.
Right.
But I grew up in a Baptist family, and I had an uncle and aunt that were very legalistic. And I got the idea that they pictured God as being up there like a judge at the Olympics. Oh, you did great. Oh, you stumbled there, and I have to take a hand
right.
off there.
Right.
And, you know, and this idea of I may get up to heaven, and I did everything right, but no, I stumbled here, so, sorry.
Right.
You were this close.
Right.
There's nothing I can do to get into heaven.
That's right.
It's
and
God's
that's,
grace that gets me there. And if I fall, instead of wagging your finger at me, I'd much prefer prayer, you say, you know what, I've been there myself, yeah. I've fallen, let's get up, let's go together, and let's move on. Right. We don't do that a lot of times. We got that human nature of, this is a contest, and it's based on points, and I've got to rack up the most points, because I want the biggest mansion of
right. heaven. Yeah, I want the one with the jacuzzi, right?
Yeah.
You know, we are not all vying for the 144,000 spaces in heaven. Okay, that, you know, that's not all there are. There's a whole lot more than that. And so, yeah, it's not like I got to be better than you so that I can, you know, beat you out. It's kind of like, you know, if I'm running from a bear, I just have to be faster than you. I don't have to outrun the bear. Okay, we don't have to worry about that, you know, with this, you know, in terms of trying to beat somebody else out of a place in heaven. It doesn't work that way.
Don't you want your friends to be there with you?
Yeah, I want, you know,
and your family be there with you?
And again, it's not a competition. It's not a limited space available kind of a thing. Okay, God, according to Peter, says he is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to eternal life.
And none of us deserve it.
Yeah, no, we don't. And so doing these things is not a matter of that I'm earning points, you know, to be able to rack up enough points to get into heaven. It's not about that. It's about changing my life to conform more and more to the image of Christ. And in doing that, there are things that I have to get out of my life. In other words, there are behaviors that are inconsistent with those who have been hidden with Christ. Okay? So in other words, if your life is supposed to be hidden in Christ, and you're engaging in these behaviors, in other words, this is really who you are, then you're exposing yourself, okay? You're not hidden any longer, okay? So that's why he says we got to put these things to death. This is not just, you know, kind of cast them aside. This is put them to death, okay? So they're no longer living within us is the idea here. That's why he uses that kind of language, okay? And then he goes on. And lists several different things. All right? We don't have time to go over all of this, so I'm going to encourage you to focus on this, read through this section here, and do an evaluation. All right, let's be honest here. You know, what of these things do I still need to be working on to get out of my life? All right? And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Right? You're still going to struggle with finding things in there that you go, oh, okay, I know I got to work on this to get that out of there.
I have to work on my temper.
Mm-hmm. I have to work on gossip. but you're right though, Gene, is that you know, we all need to be looking at ourselves and to see, okay, what do I need to overcome? And by the way, again, process, not an event. Let me say this and then we'll be finished up. You know, I'm working on these things that are very obvious to me in my life right now. But as I grow in my relationship with Christ, there are other things that he will reveal to me that aren't even, you know, as the saying goes, on my radar screen right now. But as I grow and mature, I become going to realize, well, you know, I've been maybe making excuses for this all my life, but I know now I need to stop making excuses. I got to overcome this. All right? So there is never going to be a point in your physical life where you're going to be able to stand back and go, okay, got it all together, overcame everything, I'm ready. All right, not going to happen. So I hate to bust your bubble if that's what you've been thinking, but that's not going to happen, all right? Okay, thank you all very much. And again, Wes wasn't in here when we started. I wanted to let you know I appreciate him filling in for me last week and doing that.